Hello there! Hey, we're making this a regular thing. hopefully you've enjoyed some of these installments of Strewn Along the Path. I think we're up to talking about Legends of Tomorrow. And I think this will probably be a fairly short episode, just talking about that show. So Legends of Tomorrow is basically a collection of heroes and villains from Arrow and Flash thrown together as a team, makeshift team, by a person by the name of Rip Hunter. And Rip Hunter is a... I have to get this right because it's very easy to get this confused with Doctor Who for several reasons. I believe they call themselves the Time Masters. They're kind of like the Time Cops of the DC Universe, I guess. You know, sounds a lot like the Time Lords in Doctor Who. That's not the only Doctor Who connection. We have... Oh! That's why I need to be sitting in front of a computer instead of driving down the road when I'm doing these things. There's an English actor by the name of something, and he's the same actor in Doctor who played Rory. Rory was the husband of Amelia Pond, who was one of the companions of Doctor Who, and so Rory was also a companion of Doctor Who, and was on the show for at least two seasons, maybe more, or series, since we're talking about British films or British television. And so it's kind of funny to see him, instead of being the companion of the Doctor, to be the Time Master. He has a space-time ship called... Oh, I can't remember what the name of the ship is called. It's another Gideon. Gideon is kind of the AI personality of the ship. Was it the Wave Runner? Something like that. And anyway, he has kind of gone against the Time Masters and has assembled this team of heroes and villains to go after Vandal Savage, who is an immortal person who has been living throughout time and wreaking havoc and destruction and trying to gain power over the centuries. In Rip's timeline, he has taken over the world, or taken over the galaxy or whatever, and on Rip's homeworld has killed Rip's wife and son, and Rip wants revenge. He wants the Time Masters to go after Vandal Savage and to stop him, but the Time Masters don't think that's a good decision, and so he goes out on his own, goes against the Time Masters. Again, spoilers here. This is not all revealed to begin with at the beginning of the season one of Legends of Tomorrow. And so he goes to Earth and recruits all these different people to be the Legends of Tomorrow. And he tells them that they are the ones to be assembled, and he's picked them out of all the people in time and space that can defeat Vandal Savage. Randall Savage? Vandal Savage. Randall Savage was a WWF wrestler, right? I don't know. Randy, whatever. Vandal Savage, I believe. And so to set all this up, so this is that series. We don't even see Rip Hunter until the first episode of Legends of Tomorrow. Before that, we have a crossover event between Flash and Arrow. On the Flash side, the characters that are kind of generated from the Flash, from Central City, Flash's show, we have Captain Cold and, is it Heat Wave, who are villains, rogues, as you will, on the Flash show. He's also in season two of Flash. But anyway, he's always kind of had this tenuous relationship with the Flash, where he's somewhat honorable, but still a villain. Still, it's his nature to commit crime and to go against the rules and whatever. And then his partner in crime is Heat Wave, who I believe is named Rory. Which is interesting, because we have Rip Hunter, who was the actor that played Rory in Doctor Who. But now we have a Rory, who is Heatwave. So we have them from the Flash universe, and then we have Firestorm. So Firestorm is the combination of, man, I'm not good with names today. Can't think of the actor's name, but anyway, I can't think of the character name either. He's a professor. He's a science wizard guru guy that, you know, was there in season 1 and 2 of Flash. Him and Ronnie originally were fused together into the superhero Firestorm. So when they're fused together as one person, they have these superpowers, you know, with nuclear fusion capabilities, energy blasts, flying, all that kind of stuff. Ronnie ended up dying in Flash when he tried to help overcome the singularity that was destroying Central City and eventually the entire world. So Flash tried to stop that. Firestorm went up into the singularity to help and was able to stop the singularity from destroying everything. But in the process, Ronnie died, or at least disappeared. We never did see Ronnie again. Eventually, that made the professor, I'm just going to call him the professor, he was unstable without Ronnie. If he didn't fuse with Ronnie every once in a while, he was going to die because of the whatever process happened between them. So on Flash, they had sought and found another person who had the capabilities of being able to fuse with Dr. So-and-so, the professor, and become Firestorm again. And he was kind of reluctant to do that, but he was like a football star kid, and he was a mechanic and didn't want to have anything to do with superhero, but eventually they convinced him that he should try to do this. And, you know, he kind of liked the power of it and everything. So anyway, we had a new Firestorm with the professor and the other kid, the young kid, football star guy. Sorry. I think after watching these shows, I know some of the names. Anyway, so those are the two characters from Flash. The two characters from Arrow... Oh, okay, that's more than two, right? We got three from Flash. And from Arrow, we have the Atom, who is Ray Palmer, who has been on Arrow since, I think, season 3 is when he came on and took over Queen Consolidated and made it Ray Palmer Technologies and had a relationship with Felicity, who hasn't, and then was able to build his Iron Man armor, essentially, but he calls it... he's the Atom. And he also has the combination of this power armor, and he also now has the ability to shrink himself, kind of like Ant-Man. So he's like a combination of Marvel's Iron Man and Ant-Man put together. And he's been a character in DC. They're not ripping off Marvel. Well, you know, comic books rip off each other all the time. But anyway, and of course he's played by... Oh, I cannot remember people's names. Oh, come on. I know his name. I know. Brandon Routh. There we go. Who was Superman in Superman Returns. He was also Shaw on the TV show Chuck, which I really enjoyed. Chuck. He was on there as a spy for quite a while. Chuck. So I like him. He's got he's kind of got that Clark Kent good guy hero kind of thing going on. Just wants to do good, wants to do the right thing, all those kinds of things. So he comes to be on the Legends of Tomorrow. As I said in the Arrow episode, they went to great lengths to bring Katie Lotz back as the White Canary, back from the dead. And as I said, I like her character. I think she does really well as the White Canary. It's pretty cool. And then they introduce... in this crossover event between Arrow and Flash, they introduce Hawkman and Hawkgirl, mostly Hawkgirl, who is a barista at whatever coffee place they go to in Central City. Perks? Something like that. And she kind of has a love relationship with Cisco. Cisco doesn't have good luck with women on the show. He also had a little thing with Captain Cold's sister, who he named the Golden Glider or something like that. And that didn't work out well. And then he has this girlfriend, and I can't remember the character's name either. She ends up being Hawk Girl, but she has a name on the show. Okay, so anyway, she doesn't know she's Hawk Girl. She doesn't know she gets reincarnated as Hawk Girl, and her and Hawk Man are always destined to be lovers and love each other over centuries of time. They're related to Vandal Savage. Vandal Savage loved her character, and she was in love with Hawkman guy. They got into a fight, and there was some symbol or amulet or something that she prayed to or something before she got killed with her lover, and that gave her the power of the hawk or whatever. And so when they die, they're reincarnated later in another form, and then eventually find each other and eventually remember their past lives and go on to fight Vandal Savage, who's always trying to kill them whenever they come back. And he's still in love with, is it Clara? No, it's not Clara. This is Marshall's Bewilderment Show, is what we're listening to now. Clara? I don't know. Claudia? With Hot Girl. So anyway, at this point in her life, she's been reincarnated as a young woman, and she doesn't know she's Hawk Girl, but Hawkman knows who she is, and he comes to town, and Cisco doesn't like him, and then they learn about Vandal Savage, and they have to defeat Vandal Savage, and that's where a lot of the stuff goes on with Oliver's son, and the lie, Felicity, and all that kind of stuff. And so, after everything happens on The Flash and the Arrow show, they are just kind of hanging out as Hawkman and Hawkgirl, and then eventually join the League, not the League Assassins, the Legends of Tomorrow. So I think I had the team assembled, right? I've told you about everybody that's on the team and kind of how that all came together. We call it a team, but they didn't start out that way. Several of the characters knew each other and worked together. And, many of these characters have seen each other, know of each other, but really haven't worked together before, especially when you throw Captain Cold and Heatwave into the mix. But they do have this common goal, Vandal Savage. The people that are most invested, of course, are Hawkman and Hawkgirl and Rip Hunter. And the rest of them are kind of brought on board to, but they're not as dedicated to it, right? They're just kind of along for the ride. I think people like Ray Palmer, being the Atom, the Professor, who's the half of the Firestorm team, are dedicated to it. They want to help. They're the do-gooders. You know, White Canary is a do-gooder as well, but she's kind of also displaced in her world and just there for the adventure, for a way to do something other than feel out of place. I still can't think of the kid's name that plays the other half of Firestorm. African American actor, and character, obviously. Young kid, kind of hot-headed. He didn't want to come at all. He wasn't part of it, but the professor pretty much drugged him and brought him along so they could help. So he's kind of a resistant person. And then Captain Cold and Heatwave are along for the ride. They see the value of there might be spoils along the way and a way to rip loose kind of thing. And Captain Cold, he's kind of that honorable thief character. He's a criminal, he's a bad guy, but he's got his own code of honor kind of thing. But you're not sure what that code is and where he draws the line. And so he's kind of an unreliable character, but not as unreliable as Heatwave. Heatwave's just there for the action, just there for the spoils. He's dedicated to being a criminal and bad guy. So that was interesting. Let's see. Did the show work? I think there were really good moments in the show. It was kind of fun to go back in time and see how things change or whatever. They went back to the 70s. They went back to the 50s. They went to the future, to the horizon. Never his mind on where he was. No, that's a different show. But they did go to the future at various stages. And they were always, trying to track Vandal Savage and stop him. And they're, of course, the Time Masters, who Rip used to be a part of, but went against stole one of their Wave Runner time travel ships. They kind of have the A-Team thing going on where they're have the government chasing them as well as trying to stop the bad guy, Vandal Savage. There's a lot of good moments in the show. Overall, it felt kind of uneven. I watched the first few episodes and had it on Hulu. I kind of stopped watching it after a little bit. Not that it was a bad show, but I just wasn't dedicated to it like I was Flash. I mean, I wasn't going to miss an episode of Flash. Arrow, I'll get like one or two episodes behind maybe on it, but I try to keep up with Arrow. And then Legends of Tomorrow just kind of was like, oh, yeah, I'll get to that when I want. And, it, you know, it's kind of hard to bring a team-type show together to give everybody their own special time. You know, Arrow focuses on Arrow. Flash focuses on Flash. And there are supporting characters that get their moments and their development along with them. But the main focus is on that character, where here you have a team where you have to give time to White Canary. You have to give time to Rip Hunter. You have to give time to Hawk Girl, Hawk Boy, or Hawk Man. I think the least interesting character to me on Legends of Tomorrow was Hawk Man. He was just there kind of as a prop. You know, you're kind of interested more in Hawk Girl because she's the one that's learning about her new abilities, or her old abilities, I guess you could say. But she's learning to become Hawk Girl and to focus on that. And then there's just this other Hawk dude. He actually gets spoilers again for all these episodes. He ends up getting killed off pretty early in the series. And so, boom, he's gone. So I think even the writers saw him as kind of a boring character. You know, it would probably work more. And the actor, to me, doesn't do much for me. Doesn't bring much to the role other than just being there. And, you know, I think it's not the focus of the writers to make him interesting, obviously, because they killed him off. Of course, he's going to reincarnate or come back, and he does come back later in the season in the fight, you know, for Vandal Savage. And it's kind of interesting the way they bring him back. He's kind of, at that point, been brainwashed by Vandal Savage to be against them, and they kind of have to capture him and work with him and try to turn him back to the good side or whatever. So that kind of became interesting toward the end of the season. But with Hawk Girl, and, you know, I'm not that excited about her either. Her and Ray Palmer kind of get a relationship going. And they were stuck in 1950 for, I don't know, several months anyway, 6 months maybe. Them and White Canary were stranded back in the 1950s for quite a while. And so they pretty much set up a home and became husband and wife kind of thing. They didn't get married. He was going to propose to her, but that got interrupted when the Wave Runner came back. But they, you know, they had a relationship, but there was always this danger. There was always this, you know, knowledge that Hawk Girl and Hawk Man were destined to be together, that they always reincarnated. They always came back together they were, you know, lifelong, generation, immortal, whatever you want to call it, destined to always come together. And so there was always that hanging over them, and how are they going to deal with that? But, you know, she was trying to deal with her feelings. She loved Ray. She wanted to be with Ray. But then when Hawkman came back, she was torn. She knew the history. She needed to use the love that they had, Hawk Girl and Hawkman together, in order to bring him back, to realize that he shouldn't be, that he should be working against Vandal Savage instead of for him. And so that was interesting. You know, Ray got a lot of good, or the Atom got a lot of good moments. I kind of wanted him to kind of become the leader of the group. But nobody, that was one of the things that I noticed about it, was that nobody really became the leader. Nobody really trusted Rip Hunter, because it ended up he lied to them. The only reason he chose them is because that they were all that was left. They were kind of almost the bottom of the barrel people that he, but that was all he had to go back and fight Vandal Savage. And he was just obsessed with this revenge, getting Vandal Savage to, and preventing his family from being killed. And so he was mostly in it for himself. They knew that. And so they didn't really trust Rip Hunter. There were some bonding between White Canary and Hawk Girl. You know, they kind of became friends. The young kid, part of Firestorm, caught on to the vision, wanted to be part of the team, was glad that they came. It was interesting. They had at one point, something had happened to him. He had been zapped by something and was aging extremely fast. And the only way to save him was to send him back to 2016. And that would reverse the process and bring him back or whatever. And they had this jump ship that they could take at any time to go back. But it was a one-way trip back to 2016. So anyway, he comes back. And there's an interesting moment when he's trying to get back with the Wave Runner so that he could join the team again. And of course, without him, as the second half of Firestorm, the professor is going to die. And so he knows that and wants to get back. And so anyway, there's this really fun moment where they kind of, I'm sure it was on purpose, kind of did a homage to Back to the Future, where they're back in time before they leave, when they originally leave to go time travel. And the professor, you know, talks to the young kid and says, hey, I respect your decision. Of course, he knows he's going to give him a roofie or whatever and steal him onto the ship. Anyway, so he says goodbye to him. And then as soon as he leaves, the other version of himself that's come back in time shows up and says, hey, Professor, I need your help. We need to get back with the others on the Wave Runner. So it was kind of, you know, like on Back to the Future 2 at the end there, where Marty comes and talks to Doc Brown. Same kind of thing, just after he sends him off back to the future from the first show. So that was kind of fun. There's a lot of good, fun time travel-y type stuff like that. Some of it's kind of forced, but a lot of it's fun. So they eventually are able to capture Vandal Savage. You know, it was a pretty big deal, or, you know, it took a lot, but they were able to do it. Then they find out that the Time Masters are working with Vandal Savage, that they think without Vandal Savage taking over the world, they're going to be defeated by aliens. And so it turns out that the Time Masters are also the bad guys, and they go back to this, what was it, the Land of Nowhere? Probably getting that confused with Guardians of the Galaxy. But anyway, it was this time that existed outside of time and space. It was the headquarters for the Time Masters. They were the captors instead of, you know, they brought Vandal Savage in like, you know, the heroes, but then they were the ones that were captured and all that kind of stuff. And so that episode, that part where they were with the Time Masters was extremely Doctor Who-ish. It was almost like Rory had taken over as the Time Lord, as the Doctor who was fighting against the other Time Lords. That was fun. So I think I pretty much talked about everything that I wanted to about the stories of the show. I mean, there's a lot I'm leaving out, which is fine. That's good. If you watch it, you won't be spoiled of everything if you haven't seen it already. Let's see. So it's a good show. It's not the best that I'd want to rearrange my whole schedule just to watch it every week. And it's kind of the third best, I guess, of the trio of DC shows on the CW. Flash, of course, is number one. Arrow is number two. And then Legends of Tomorrow is number three. One of the things I like about it is you can, new people can come in and out of the team all the time. I thought they'd do a little bit more of that in season one. At one point, you know, it looked like Heatwave was going to be gone out of the team. Hawkman was going to be gone out of the team. I kept expecting them to pick up another superhero or something like that to balance the thing. I always liked that in the comic books when they did that, where, I don't know, there's things like the Secret Avengers, or there was another one like that where the team members shifted in and out all the time. There might have been one constant, or there might have been, very frequently occurring team members. But it was a changing roster quite a bit. I was kind of hoping for a little bit more of that, but it's already a hard job that they have to keep all these characters, give them development moments and all these things. So if that character just went away and they brought in new ones all the time, it would be kind of hard to get that connection to the character. So I see why they're not doing that. They did go back in time to the Old West and meet up with Jonah Hex. I don't know anything about Jonah Hex. I've heard about him. People have said it's a good comic book, another DC character. And that was a good episode, too. I kind of enjoyed him as a character, Jonah Hex. It'd be interesting to see him on his own show. I don't know if they could keep that going or not, but that was a good episode. They had an episode where the Atom, there was a giant robot in the future, Vandal Savage sent to kill the team. So the Atom got out of the ship, hooked up to the power of the Time Warp ship, Wave Runner, right? And was able to, instead of grow small, he was able to grow extremely large. So there was a giant version of Ray Palmer as the Atom who fought the giant robot, which was a cool moment. It's interesting, you know, they did that before Civil War came out. Marvel's Captain America Civil War movie came out, where there again you have Ant-Man, Scott Lang, not Hank Pym, but Scott Lang as Ant-Man, who's always goes small, was able to reverse the Pym particles or whatever and became Goliath or Giant Man or whatever. Of course, you know, Legends of Tomorrow pales in comparison to anything like Civil War. I mean, Civil War, again, is one of the ranks among the top of the Marvel cinematic movies. I haven't talked about that on the podcast here, but I really enjoyed Civil War. I thought it was a really good show. It's kind of up there with Winter Soldier and the First Avengers in my book. And I'm not going to rank them, but those are probably my top three. Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah, boy. Anyway, I'm getting off track. Yeah, so there were some cool moments. The things I was hoping for was that somebody would become the actual leader of the group, and nobody really did. I'm leaving one spoiler out for the show. I did like the character of Captain Cold. I really enjoyed him on all the Flash episodes. And I still like the character. I still like the actor. I think it's done really well. But it did grow a little tired. And I don't know if it's the actor or the direction or what. But he always kind of delivers his lines like this. He always has to make a point. Now I sound like Jack Nicholson. So what's going on here? I think we have to, I don't know, I can't do his voice, but he always talks very dramatically. And I don't know if that's just the personality or voice of the actor that plays Captain Cold, or whether he was just hamming it up for the show or given that direction to keep that cadence or whatever. But after a while, it's like, come on, don't you have any other tones of voice or any other way of talking? I don't know. Anyway, who am I to judge? But I have an opinion. And He-Way was kind of the same way, especially at first. He was very one-dimensional. He always talked like this. You know, they were kind of the same voice. You could write their lines for them. You know, they didn't really change. But actually, Heatwave did change with respect to his attitude about the group. He really started to care for people and enjoy the group toward the end. So that was cool. Anyway, that's Legends of Tomorrow. That's all I have to say about that. Maybe I'll come on and talk a little bit about Supergirl next. And we'll just keep on going through TV shows that I've watched. All right, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
The Journey Into podcast is produced under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives License, which means that you can share it as much as you would like, but please don't sell it, and please don't change it. And please give credit where credit is due.